At the top of our program today, Michigan Democrats are hoping a U.S. Supreme Court decision from last week might level the state's political playing field. In an Arizona case, the High Court ruled that a state's voters have the right to establish independent commissions to draw the boundary lines that mark legislative and congressional districts. In most states, including Michigan, that authority lay with its legislature. That means that every 10 years, the majority party holds the pen and redraws the districts as it sees fit. The process commonly leads to gerrymandering, weirdly drawn districts designed to ensure that the party in power, and in Michigan, that is the GOP, remains so. For many years, critics have blasted the practice as a distortion of democracy. Our next guest is enthusiastic about the Supreme Court ruling and is a vocal supporter of redistricting reform. Jocelyn Benson is the current dean of the Wayne State University Law School. She was the Democratic candidate for Michigan Secretary of State back in 2010. Welcome, Jocelyn Benson.
Thanks for having me.
In your view, how big a problem is gerrymandering in Michigan? Where do we really see it?
Well, I think we see it in Michigan. I mean, you need to look no further than the drawing of the 14th Congressional District, which literally snakes around Oakland County, grouping voters from Pontiac down through Detroit into the southwest area of Detroit and Grosse Pointe. So it's a very strange district that's been nationally called one of the oddest-shaped districts in the country. So that, I think, demonstrates, as Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor said several decades ago, if a district looks funny or is funny or oddly shaped, there's probably something wrong with it.
Mm-hmm. I've joked before that these are shapes not found in nature, and I think there's probably a case to be made there. But
well, and you know, the thing that I found in 2011 when the districting process was happening in Lansing and elected officials were drawing the lines is that I led a redistricting competition inviting citizens to draw maps for Michigan's congressional seats because we wanted to demonstrate that if citizens given the opportunity, maybe they could do a better job. And we found that they did. In fact, the winning map created competitive, compact districts across the state. It was drawn by the then president of the College Republicans at Central Michigan University, and it complied with all state and federal laws and showed that it is possible. And unfortunately, the legislators didn't choose that map, but I think had we an independent redistricting commission, we'd see much better districts as a result.
Very interesting. Is your hope for an independent state commission for Michigan then, like as in Arizona, for example?
Yes, I think Arizona and California provide great examples for Michigan to follow. These are two states that have a little slightly different models, but they've done it. There have been a few cycles, so we can see the result. And I think California is a great example. Over 25,000 people applied to be a part of the commission when it was selected a few years ago, and they applied to the state auditor, and 14 were ultimately selected through a multi-tiered process. And the resulting map that was adopted after several open hearings and a lot of transparency was disliked by both political parties, which I think demonstrates that it was probably nonpartisan.
Hmm. Critics have said there is no guarantee that an independent commission can't become partisan and could conceivably indulge in gerrymandering. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Well, I'm sure you could make that argument, and I would respond two ways. One, the current process is problematic. It is broken, and we've seen in other states that this is a way to fix it. So I think certainly you could make the argument that that politics and partisanship can invade anything, especially when you're dealing with the allocation of votes and political power like you are here. But what we've seen in California is that if you have a multi-layered process that involves everything from veto power. In fact, both parties have the ability to reject people from being a part of the commission, and then a certain amount of distance from the process that can insulate it as much as possible from partisan politics, where you have members of the public who are not drawing their own districts, they're simply drawing districts for the public. That can remove some of the self-interest that we see in the current process and bring us closer to a more open democratic process.
Dean Jocelyn Benson of the Wayne State University Law School is our guest. She is an advocate of redistricting reform, and where our conversation stems directly from last week's Supreme Court ruling, which approves the rights of states to appoint independent commissions to draw the boundary lines that mark legislative and congressional districts. Jocelyn, should we assume that most state legislatures are going to resist a move like this, or are there examples of state I mean, obviously, it's happened in California and Arizona and a few others. I mean, should we assume that in most cases, state legislatures are going to resist this?
I think so. I mean, certainly politicians elected out of gerrymandered districts have no incentive to fix the very system that that elected them. And in Arizona and California, it was voters leading an initiative campaign that led the way for the reform. And in fact, the Supreme Court case was entitled Arizona State Legislature versus the Independent Redistricting Commission.
Yeah.
So it was literally the legislators versus the public, and the public won. So I think in Michigan, we had the opportunity to amend our Constitution to create this reform, and the Supreme Court has essentially endorsed our ability to do so. I think it was a call to action for us to reexamine our process in Michigan and hopefully enact some change through the initiative process.
This brings us to Democratic State Representative John Hoadley. He says he's launching an effort to get this before voters on November 2016's ballot in the general election. I take it that for advocates of reform, this is a promising possibility.
Well, Representative Hoadley has been a longtime supporter of opening up the democratic process and promoting these types of reforms, so it's no surprise that he's introducing legislation in a few weeks on this, as his predecessor, Representative Sean McCann, did when he held that seat. But I do think, and I think it's great that there are representatives out there who are willing to put this reform forward, but a real reform needs to come, I think, from the grassroots and from the citizens. And we see the League of Women Voters out there doing great work in town hall meetings to have a conversation with voters across the state and citizens across the state about the opportunities to make our redistricting process more open and more fair. So I think it's going to involve a lot of people and a lot of conversations before we get to the point of any type of initiative on the ballot. And I'm excited to see where this goes. I can tell you I've been involved in this work for a long time, and I've never seen the type of enthusiastic response that I've seen since the Supreme Court decision came out for this type of reform in Michigan.
In your view, are too few Michigan residents aware of the impact of gerrymandering?
Well, it is a wonky process. It's this idea of drawing districts, and it doesn't directly relate to road funding or whether or not our children are getting a good education. Yet it does. It does affect every decision that is made out of the legislature, from how much taxes we pay to whether we have good schools to whether our roads are fixed. So I think what voters ultimately see, and we've seen this in other states, is the connection between the way the districts are drawn and the policies that come out of the legislature, which essentially are both rife with self-interest and driven by special interests. So by removing the politics from the redistricting process as much as possible, I think we can get a little bit closer to a democracy that is really for and of the people as opposed to special interests.
Could it be that more voters are aware of gerrymandering and the impact of it, and that there are simply more Republican voters who want to maintain the status quo? I look at the winners of statewide offices where gerrymandering is not an issue, and I see Rick Snyder, I see Ruth Johnson, I see Bill Schuette. I mean, there are still a lot of Republicans in the state.
Well, to me, it's really not a Republican-Democratic issue. It's about a system that's broken. And it's a system that's broken because it's driven by self-interest. No matter who's drawing the line, if you're literally choosing your own voters, drawing your own district, that's a problem, no matter what party you affiliate with. So that's the problem that redistricting reform is trying to fix, to take the pen out of the hands of the elected officials, regardless of what party they're in, and put it in the hands of the people so that they can draw the districts that they want to use to elect their representatives.
Dean Jocelyn Benson of the Wayne State University Law School is our guest here today on WKAR's Current State. I'm Mark Bayshore. Michigan Republicans, of course, controlled the process in both 2011 and 2001. Historically, have Democrats been accused of gerrymandering as well? Do you know?
Yes, it is a problem that's afflicted both parties, quite frankly. When you have partisan self-interest ruling the day, that is going to infect the process of drawing districts. So if you look next door to Illinois, you see the opposite, where Democrats have gerrymandered districts to their favor in the way that is similarly problematic. And to me, the real reform, the test of a real independent commission comes with the question of is neither party happy, but are the voters happy? And that's what we see in states that have these type of independent redistricting commissions.
New York Times columnist Nate Cohn wrote in a fairly challenging piece last week cautioning that this decision is hardly a panacea for Democrats who would like to see a more level playing field. And one reason that he cited is that elected legislatures in some states, California being one, may well draw more favorable districts than an independent commission. Is that a valid point in your view?
Well, it's a question of what is a favorable district and what do we want our districting process to look like? What do we want our districts to look like? And to me, those questions need to be answered by voters and by citizens, not by politicians. And that to me is the bottom line. And yes, no one's saying that any one reform is going to perfect our democracy. Our democracy has a lot of is very far in view in many, including my own, from the views of the founding father of an open and transparent process that's deliberative and representative and all the rest. But make no mistake, I think this reform is very clearly a step in the right direction of fixing what is currently a problem with the system and creating a more fair, more independent opportunity for citizens to have a voice in the representative process.
It would seem that the work that the League of Women Voters and Common Cause and such groups are undertaking may well play a critical role here in awareness raising, I guess you could call it. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I think what we've seen so far and what across the country is that voters are very excited about this. They're very engaged in the process, and they want to hear more about how they can play a role. And so there is, I think, an opportunity for many conversations to happen around the state with this Supreme Court opinion coming out about what it means for Michigan. And the League of Women Voters is doing a great job leading that way.
I do want to spend 1 minute on the Supreme Court decision itself. Some people think the ruling was notable given the Elections Clause of the Federal Constitution, which says, and I quote, "The times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof," unquote. That seems pretty explicit. Were you at all surprised, given that the court ruled the way it did?
Well, what the court recognized, no, I wasn't surprised, because the court recognized that the legislature is ultimately comprised of the people, number one, and number two, that the legislature has the ability to transfer its power of legislating to the people if it so chooses. So what the court said is if you create the ability for citizens to amend their constitution through the initiative process, if the legislature creates that ability, then that is essentially ceding that ability, that authority to the voters, mm-hmm. and they have every right to use it to enact laws that they favor. So I think the opinion brings us a lot closer to a more direct representative democracy that our founders envisioned and broadly interprets that word legislature to recognize that voters are essentially a part of the legislative process.
We want to thank our guest, Dean Jocelyn Benson, Dean of the Wayne State University Law School, Democratic candidate for Michigan Secretary of State in 2010. We have been talking about redistricting reform, an important conversation. Thanks for your insights.
Thank you.